And we can go now to, I think it's probably time, for listener comment. Okay, do we have a listener's comment list of who's going to be speaking? When? We usually circulate it. Okay, would those who want to speak put your hands up so we can get an idea of the number of people who want to speak? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Does anyone else want to speak? Okay, we have 30 minutes, I believe. What time? Is it 6 o'clock now?
6:30.
It's 6:30, and we have 30 minutes. Okay. Well, this is up to the board, too. Shall I give just five minutes for each person?
Thank you.
Okay, hearing no objection to that, who would like to speak first? Please, come forward. And would somebody time this for me?
I don't think I'll be 5 minutes. That's a lot of air time. My name is Janet Coleman. I'm a programmer, a member of the LSDB, and a former arts director of WBAI, and I wanted to thank very much as this new board comes in and we welcome you. I want to thank LaVarne Williams and Grace Aaron and Tony Bates for bringing WBAI out of the slough of dependency. Dependency, that's the LSB joke. Despondency. and giving us a reminder that we are a great and vital, majorly important station in the middle of the FM dial, and I urge all of you, welcome Arlene Engelhardt, new board, to do the right thing about taking care of the treasure that is WBAI.
Who would like to speak next? Don't be shy. Someone has to get up and speak next.
This is so unique.
Well, we'll just wait until someone gets up to speak next. Please.
I saw some hands go up.
Thank you, Lisa.
I can't stand alone in any program, so I'll just fill it right now. My name is Lisa Davis. I've been on the national board a couple of years. I'm currently on the WBAI local station board, and I have been very vocal in terms of expressing my disappointment about the direction in which not just WBAI, but also Pacifica has been going. I definitely was against the unfair removals of people that were just removed willy-nilly, in my impression, including the removal of the CFO, Lonnie Hicks, and then from there it went to Tony Riddle, Bernard White. I thought in many cases these people were treated very unfairly. I know Bernard is not even allowed back into WBAI, and very recently when Bill DeFazio was going to be doing a program about Haiti, Bernard was told, I mean, not Bernard wasn't told, but Bill DeFazio was told that he couldn't interview Bernard, not to even have him on the air talking about a situation with Haiti, but yet the likes of people such as Rush Limbaugh has been on the Pacifica Airwaves and WBAI. I just think that's atrocious, and I think it represents a bad direction in which the station is going. I also want to say that I'm very proud to be with Justice and Unity. Recently, Lynn Stewart was elected to the WBAI local station board. At the time when she decided to run, she was not forced to be imprisoned, but that did happen. And we stand 100% behind her in terms of Justice and Unity. There's a battle right now that is brewing on the WBAI local station board with people who do not think that she should have any right to vote. We advocate that she should at least be given the right to vote on major motions that could have a serious impact on the station, and that there should be allowances for that to happen via email or snail mail. So I'm just making the national board aware of this situation in case this battle should come before the national board. Everybody needs to be aware of it. People need to stand behind Lynn Stewart. We are supposed to be Pacifica, a progressive radio station, and yet we seem to be moving further and further away from that. I will have other statements to say before this is all over, I am sure about it. But in the meantime, I just had to really stand up and say that I did not like some of the things that were going on, and I especially disliked the unfair treatment of some people that should have never been treated that way. And Bernard White has been treated very badly, and I thought that was very unfair. I also have to say that I objected to the way LaVon Williams, as the IGM, removed Kamal Kalfani, the way his show was banned from the air. And this was because Kamal Kalfani stood up when a local station board member pulled a chair from under a listener, and that caused the listener to come crashing to the ground. And Kamal Kalfani stood up, spoke out against it, and he was banned from the station, and he was suspended from the airwaves. And the person that pulled the chair, Seth Goldberg, I think it was, the LSB member that pulled the chair from under the person, Pastor Michael Vincent Crea, nothing happened to him, and Michael Vincent Crea got banned. So I think these kind of politics are bad.
I want to follow up on that by pointing out what I think most of you should know already, which is that you cannot do a good thing in a bad way. And the way in which change was brought to WBAI was very bad indeed. I know that I and many other people advocated very strongly not to treat people that we didn't like the way that people that we do like have been treated. It has not been my impression that the people who were brought in to replace people who were removed were more competent. I don't think that they were. They certainly did not show good management judgment. The incident that Lisa just spoke of, at that same meeting, a staff member walked into that meeting with a sledgehammer. And it was that person who initiated a shouting match with Kamau Kalafai. He has not been disciplined at all. It was Kamau who was thrown out, and everybody connected with his show whether they had done anything or not, and the others had not. It's a lot of basically politically motivated purging, and the politics aren't good. The politics are not even good. I suppose if the politics were halfway decent, the purging wouldn't be happening. Inexcusable treatment of other people wouldn't be happening. So, and of course, the other thing that we've seen is that there have been hires at the station without going first back to people who had seniority in the union. Actually, what happens is that the rules apply sometimes and then not other times. So there's this kind of, oh, but we can't let Lynn Stewart vote in the LSB because Robert's rule says this and that. Or we have to do this because the union contract says it. But if the union contract says something that we don't agree with, then we'll just walk right over it. So people who had seniority were not brought back when new hires were made. In an unprecedented way, somebody who was doing an arts program is being paid a rather astonishing sum of money per month. And the show is, in my opinion, is not as good as what it replaced of dedicated volunteer programmers who worked hard and put together really good art shows. And the times that I've listened to the show for which the person is being paid, to the extent that there's content, it seems to be gossip. So I'm thinking, well, if there's going to be a gossip program, shouldn't that be on commercial radio? And if somebody wants to be paid like that, shouldn't they be on commercial radio? I don't think it's appropriate for BAI. No, but certainly there was nothing remotely resembling any kind of consultation. It's powerfully anti-democratic what's going on. And guys, It's not a good thing that's happening. I said you can't do a good thing in a bad way, but actually what's happening is a bad thing that's being done in a bad way. I hope the station survives it. I really hope the station survives it and that the station can find its path again and find its soul again, because some of what people are praising and carrying on about the new atmosphere at the station is that it's actually kind of dead. But then the only way to have complete control over something is for it to be dead, as Jeffrey Dahmer could tell you. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. I would urge you to take a close look. I would also urge you to consider that sometimes when people make false accusations, and many false accusations were made against people who are not at the station anymore, they're either describing what they're doing themselves or they're describing their plans. So I think it behooves us all to consider whether what's happening here is really an expression of values that are worth pursuing, or whether we have some really crazy stuff going on here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Vajra Kilgour. I am from New York City. I'm Vajra, V-A-J-R-A-K-I-L-G-O-U-R. I'm from New York City, WBAI unpaid staff for now. Until somebody decides that for political reasons I shouldn't be there anymore.
Good evening. My name is Bob Lederer. I'm a longtime member of the WBAI unpaid staff and former member of the LSB and also of this PMD. And I'm here to talk to you about really the catastrophic changes that have been set in motion at WBAI since the former management was abruptly and summarily removed last spring without due process, and new management was brought in that has made a series of decisions that I think are very dangerous for the future of the station as we have known it, in a manner that has advanced the mission and really brought communities that are struggling against injustice to a place at the table to have their voices heard by the hundreds of thousands of listeners in the New York tri-state area. I'll just talk about two areas at the moment, and there are many others that could be touched on. And the first is finances. Now, the whole pretext for this abrupt management change was that the financial problems were so severe that there needed to be people who were allegedly more expert at maintaining the finances of the station. And one of the things that then happened was that the budget, which is, of course, the critical planning document for all of the ability to maintain the solvency of the station, was not even offered by the interim general manager, LeVarne Williams, until the last day of the fiscal year. This is an unprecedented delay. Traditionally, when I sat on this board, we would vote on the five stations' budgets in the last week of September after a long vetting process that started with the manager submitting it in maybe June or July and going through the local board and up to the national board. That didn't happen. And this is somebody who was simultaneously the interim chief financial officer, so it's not that she lacked the expertise in budget preparation. That's the first problem. The second problem was that when she did submit the budget, it had absolutely no supporting documents. So at that time, I was still sitting on the board and sitting on the finance committee, and I was hardly alone. Actually, it was really a unanimous opinion that this budget cannot be processed by this committee because we have no idea what any of the assumptions were. It was based upon what are the particular components of some of the items and so forth. So the board unanimously insisted that those documents be presented. They were not presented for another approximately 2.5 months. And in fact, even when they were finally presented, one of the most critical documents was left out, and And the IGM actually never came to the Finance Committee to answer questions, so a lower-level person who had been hired with no due process, with no job posting, had been a political ally of the majority of the board, was the one left to explain to us exactly how many new hires were contemplated in this budget. Now, mind you, this is a station that sustained serious layoffs the year before because of the very serious budget crisis, some of them affecting the most fundamental operational aspects of the station. And yet in this new budget, somehow there was suddenly money to pay a newly brought in national celebrity programmer who's from out of town, from Atlanta, $2,000 a month to do a show on hip-hop that had previously been a music slot that was programmed by unpaid staff. So there's suddenly money for this, you know, what would be a $24,000 annual expenditure, plus a half-time investigative journalist, which, of course, we can all agree that that's an ideal thing for Pacifica to have more of. But at a time when our business manager told us last week at the Finance Committee, or 2 weeks ago at the Finance Committee meeting, that one of the reasons that that renewals are down and therefore the contributing factor to the problem with finances is that the person who handled membership updates and who sent out reminders, please send your money, was removed in a layoff last year. So there's no money to restore her position, but there is money to bring in a half-time investigative reporter. This is the type of priorities, thank you, that are being administered under this new interim management that I think are extremely skewed. And maybe tomorrow when I speak, I can talk about the horrible mismanagement of the LSB election that resulted in thousands of voters not getting ballots who were entitled to them until very late, and thousands of other voters who weren't entitled getting them. And this still has not been properly, you know, assessed and remedied.
Good evening. My name is Renee Bowser, and I'd like to welcome everybody to Washington, D.C. For the first Pacifica National Board meeting of the year. I don't know if the LSB, the hosting LSB, gets a chance to speak. Can someone answer that for me? Or else I'll speak now. Okay. Well, if I get another chance, that'll be good. If not, I'll use this. Again, I'd like to welcome you. My name is Renee Bowser. I'm the new chair of WPFW's local station board. And I just want to let everyone know that we are developing and building a cohesive LSB this year. And no longer will we be an LSB whose directors and LSB members can be played off against each other. We all respect the PNB, and we demand that respect from the PNB. We want to have very open lines of communication. If there are actions that our LSB takes which are not agreed to, we demand to be given notice and an opportunity to be heard and have that debated. We would not like to have arbitrary and capricious treatment. For example, last year, our LSB elected a director. That director had been there one term but not 12 months. And so there was a decision that that one term was not 12 months, so it wasn't enough to sit on the board, which I can understand. I've been a labor lawyer for 25 years, and I can understand interpreting the bylaws. But when I got here in July up to New York for the LSB meeting, I found that there were two sitting directors who were in the same position as the person that we voted, but that they were allowed to be seated, and they did not have a full 12 months on the board. That's the type of arbitrary and capricious actions that we want to move past, and that we are very firm that we will not accept. We do not have anybody on our LSB this year or on our directors who will accept arbitrary and capricious treatment against our board. So, again, we understand the bylaws. We want to adhere to the bylaws. I as a lawyer, have dealt with regulations and laws for many years on any law that deals with the worker in the workplace. So I'm very familiar with interpretation, statutory interpretation. I dare say maybe more familiar than many people in this room. But so I think we have to adhere to that and give our LSB respect. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Lizette King, and I'd like to follow in the same vein as the chair of the LSB to welcome you, the new members and the old members, and I really do miss you. I don't really miss the time wasting trying to set an agenda, but I do miss the I do miss the participation in trying to move forward. An entity that not many of us actually appreciate the value of it. I've lived across the ocean, and I don't think there's anywhere in the world that people of our thinking can express our views in the way that we can through this medium. I heard some, and I want to welcome in particular Arlene Engelhardt, our new executive director. I heard her last night, and I heard her this morning on the air, and I'm sure you do us proud. And I want to welcome you. I also want to welcome Lavan, and I want to commend, and I thought I was nosy, but I think I've met my match, in the way Lavan smells where things are hidden. And she unearths them. And I want to commend her for that. I want to also say that the financial situation that the last administration inherited was not merely a pretext. It went beyond that. For example, and I'm not sure when the interim general manager is going to make that statement, but the state of WPFW was not, I do not believe it was unique, but I think it was second to BAI, where we had $18,000 in the bank. So that cannot be just pretext. It has to be beyond that. And no matter what anybody says, I think the last administration has to be a part of the history of this organization. We were at the brink. We're not out of the woods yet. But we were able, despite the wrangling, we were able to pull it back. We did not agree on the way everybody did it, but we did that. And I think we have to commend ourselves for that. In terms of the election, this election started 6 years ago, and I measure that because I was one of the first persons on the board. It was never, ever, ever right. Never. As a matter of fact, the first time round was the best at PFW as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm not sure that it's fair to make out that the last administration and the last national election supervisor was particularly to blame for anything. It's what we inherit. It's what we have. And I think rather than us beating up on other people trying, let's try and have, and I put you to the test, let's try and have a convention to look at those bylaws. They're causing too much problems. And I think what I saw from last night, it's even more crucial, and Arlene can probably speak to this. Some of the issues that were brought to her attention, it was clear that people do not understand the document with which we're supposed to work. Not many of us can, because it was something just taken out of the air, maybe with some two people to settle a court case. That's what it was. And we need to look at it. Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm done. I want to welcome you. I'm sorry somebody brought the cold air here, and I wish I know who it was. I hope you enjoy it, and I look forward to seeing you later on this evening.
Uh, Good evening. My name is Steve Brown. I'm from New York. I wasn't going to say anything today, but I listened to some people talk about what they think was going on at WBAI, and it was so different from what I've seen and what many on the staff have welcomed that I thought I'd say a few words. Those of you who are not at BAI have no way of knowing who's telling the truth, who's not. You're just listening to two different reports, but if you ever get a chance to talk to members of the staff and find out how much happier they are with what LaVarn, what Grace, and others have done to change the atmosphere at WBAI, to hire people who are competent, not merely friends of those people who control things, you will get a totally different picture. I'm not going to rebut some of the odd narratives that you've heard. They're simply not true, but you have no way of knowing that. Anyway, I'm happy at what's been going on at WBAI, and I'm happy at the way this board is conducting itself. Seems very civil, and I expect good things from it. Thank you.
I want to say assalamu alaikum and good evening, and welcome to our city, Washington, D.C., a city that is full of politics. You've brought some here, and you'll probably be leaving with some of it. And as far as the cold weather goes, this is January. That's what you have. This is winter. And it's supposed to snow tomorrow, so better, you know, bundle up. I just wanted to say a few things. My name is Zarina Shakir. I'm the former WPFW Local Station Board Chair. And I'm glad that Renee is in the spot now. I was on this board for 6 years, six long, arduous, hard, difficult, sometimes fun, nice meeting certain people years. I was also on the PMB for 3 years, the first 3 years, where we did get some things done. And yes, there was a lot of anger and angst that has carried over, but the fact of the matter is that many boards, whether it's a PTA, whether it's Pacifica National Board, Chevron, Exxon, the Congress, or the Senate, or your home, your family, they call it sibling rivalry, divorce, and all those kinds of things that happen within a family and humanity, human beings meeting at that don't necessarily always agree. I want to say that welcome, Arlene Engelhart. I'm the person that called community comment this morning and was very concerned about the fact that our station did not make the announcement for this PMB meeting until yesterday. Now, I know there are certain bylaws that talk about the LSB meetings, and I do believe that if the PMB is supposed to be the parent, supposedly, then and the LSB is the child, allegedly, then the announcements for the PMB meeting should have been made, just like all the other announcements for the Kennedy Center, for the CAB, which is really not an elected body, and all the other activities that are going on here in Washington, D.C. This board, this network deserved just as much attention as any other announcement. And I am sorry that that was not done. Now, I didn't have anything to do with it, but that's kind of what we've been dealing with for the past 6 or 7 months. Let me also say we have four board members or directors that are the new PMB reps. I just wrote their names out. Isn't it interesting that our particular representatives don't have their names? What's that all about? Four African Americans. How interesting. I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure they'll find out in your executive session. Tomorrow, God willing, I would rather speak about a few of the things like the removal of the former general manager whether he was removed or not, and as I've said this before, all of us had a Ron Pinchback story. But the way that it was done was just so unjustified. This network prided itself, and I just said prided, E.D., I'm a former language arts teacher, prided itself on justice. But I'll be darned if that's what's happening with this network at this point in time, particularly over this past year. Sidrack Franklin, who was our operations manager, was also terminated. Now, I was at a meeting, and I was told that at that meeting that he was not fired, but that he was that his position was eliminated because of budgetary concerns. I want you all to know, by the way, before I came here, I spoke with Sidrack Franklin's wife because I was just calling to find out if he would be here. He's in the hospital. Thank you. For he was admitted to the hospital because his blood sugar is at 600. And if you know where blood sugar is supposed to be, it's supposed to be around 150 or less. Again, a number of other things that I guess I'll probably have to say tomorrow, but I do want to say this. Is it called Pacifica Bylaws or Pacifica My Laws?
We're out of time. Is there anyone else who had wanted to speak who didn't get a chance to? Well, seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Would someone please tell us how we're supposed to get to PFW?
I have a point of personal privilege.
Okay.
I would like our chair pro tem to find out for us who authorized the security guard and who's paying for the security guard at this meeting.
Does anyone know on the board? I'll find out.
Thank you.
Grigsby?
The board, you're invited to our station this evening, and there will be transportation from the hotel at 7:45 and at 8 o'clock, taking you many of the same drivers that brought you to the hotel. And you're all welcome. We're 2390 Champlain Street here in the district, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grigsby, which entrance of the hotel will they be meeting us at?
Right on 9th Street.
On 9th Street.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Meeting's adjourned.